بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب بغض الصالحين باب بغض الصالحين The chapter with regards to hating or detesting the righteous to hating or detesting, disliking the righteous from the believers This issue here, the issue of al-bughd Al-bughd, it means to hate something and to detest it And the opposite of al-bughd is al-hubb Al-hubb, wal-mawadda, love So the opposite of hating and detesting is love So here the issue is with regards to the clarification of the major sin of hating and detesting and having hatred in the heart of a person for the righteous and pious believers. So again, this is from Kabair al-Qulub. This is from the major sins that are related to the heart, from the major sins that are related to the heart. So this is an issue and an affair of the heart, to simply have that bughd, to have that kur, to have that hatred in the heart for a righteous person or for the righteous people. This here is a major sin. If that hatred had come to the extent where a person acted upon it or spoke upon it, now it will be darkness upon darkness and evil upon evil. And it will be more severe and more worse. The issue here is the major sin of the fact that that hatred, that rancor and animosity, and that dislike and detestfulness, it will be in the heart of a believer towards the Muslims, and it towards the righteous and the pious from the Muslims. Again, the righteous, they're the ones who are known for outwardly being upright upon the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. They are known to be people, what is apparent from them is that they are sincere in their devotion and love for al-Islam, love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're known to be people of the Sunnah. Because there is two conditions for an action to be considered righteous. Amalun salihun. For the action to be considered righteous, it must be sincerely and for the sake of Allah alone, inwardly. And as for outwardly, then it must be in accordance to the legal ways and the laws of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, the action can be considered righteous. If a person, he did a deed sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, but he did not do it according to the sunnah, rather he contradicted the sunnah and opposed that, it would not be considered a righteous deed, no matter how beautiful his intention was. We have seen the example of that in the hadith of Abi Burda, and how he had a hope to slaughter on the day of Eid before everybody else, and to precede him, and to be the first one to present the udhiyah, and that his family will be the first to eat on that day. And then in the khutbah of Eid, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them that whoever prays the way that they pray, meaning in the time and in that manner, and whoever slaughters in the way that they slaughter, meaning in the time and in that manner, then his slaughtering will be accepted, and it will be an act of worship that will be pleasing to Allah. And whoever slaughtered before the prayer, then his slaughtering is not accepted. So Abu Burda, he mentioned that he had this beautiful intention to only slaughter for the sake of Allah, for his animal to be the first to be slaughtered on that day, to hasten to do the good. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not excuse him. So the point that we have now is that a beautiful intention is not sufficient for the action to be considered salih. For the action to be considered salih. Because this is a companion here, a noble companion who prayed the Eid with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ranks behind him. So he's learning directly from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and praying right along with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he made a mistake in this affair. And his slaughtering was not in accordance to the legal ways of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although he was sincere, it was not accepted. So this is the case here. For the action to be considered righteous, it has to be inwardly, sincerely, for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward from Allah, hoping for the pleasure of Allah, with an intention that is pure, seeking the pleasure of Allah in the home and the hereafter. As for outwardly, it has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or else it would not be accepted likewise. So if it was according to the sunnah precisely, and every movement was performed according to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with great detail, yet he did that hoping for the praise of the people, or a position in the heart of the people, and the likes like this, then likewise it will not be accepted, until it is sincerely for the sake of Allah and according to the sunnah. In this manner, the action can be considered righteous, and by performing these affairs here and being consistent upon that, a person, he becomes righteous. He becomes righteous. He becomes upright and steadfast. Aristikama upon steadfastness upon the religion, upon performing the obligations in that manner, and avoiding the prohibitions in that manner. Any sincerity for the sake of Allah and according to the sunnah. So at this time, the person, he will be considered righteous. So therefore, the one who is known to be like this, what is apparent outwardly is that he's like this, he's upright and steadfast upon that, upon performing the obligations and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and avoiding the prohibitions, he's considered salih. Rajulun salih. Yudhannu bihi khayran. It's thought good about him. And as yuhsinuna bihi dhann, the people, they think good about him because of what they have seen from him from goodness. Because of what they have seen from him from goodness. So to detest the likes of these people, this is a foul way. To detest the righteous, the people who are known to outwardly display goodness and to be upright and to perform the prayer and to love the congregational prayer and to love visiting the masajid and sitting in the gatherings of knowledge and lowering their gaze and checking their tongue and repenting often and giving charity and helping out in the avenues of khayr and the avenues of goodness and the likes like this, reminding one another and advising one another and directing one another and helping the children and helping the orphans, all the actions of goodness. The person who's known for being involved in the likes of these affairs, then he's considered a good person, a righteous person, and we think good about him. So to detest someone like this is a major sin. Rather, this is from the characteristics of the munafiqeen. This is from the characteristics and the traits of the hypocrites. So this is a major affair here. And this is an affair of the heart. So again, if that is present in the heart, then a major sin is present. It could even become worse until a person acted upon that, yani in his speech or in his conduct. Then it would be more severe. The discussion now is about the issue of the heart. So what is incumbent is to love the righteous. What is incumbent and what is from faith and what is an obligation and what is required is that a person, he will love the righteous and he will love them for the sake of Allah because of their righteousness. And according to how much righteousness and goodness appears from them will determine how much love one has for them. Will determine how much love one has for them. A person who has more benefit and a person who has more outward good along with him, then he will be loved more because of that affair. So he's loved for the sake of Allah. And this is the strongest handhold of faith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in an authentic narration, أوثق أول الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله, that the strongest handhold of faith is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. And a person likewise, he will never find the sweetness of faith until he loves for the sake of Allah and he hates for the sake of Allah. Until he loves for the sake of Allah and he hates for the sake of Allah. And this is the case and with regards to this. And from those requirements, in order to taste the sweetness of faith, for the faith to be complete and perfected and to be beneficial and good and cultivated and strong in the heart of a believer, he must love for the sake of Allah. And he must hate and detest for the sake of Allah. Whatever he loves it for the sake of Allah. Whatever he dislikes it for the sake of Allah. So the foundation is based upon what Allah loves. If Allah loves it, then he loves it. And if Allah detests it, then he detests it. And if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves it, then a believer, he loves it. And if the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dislikes something and detests that, then a believer, he will detest that likewise. He will detest that likewise. So this is the case with regards to a believer, that his love and the affairs of his heart is governed by the legislation and checked by the reins of the Sharia. Therefore, he loves what Allah loves, and from that the righteous and the upright and the good and the noble believers. And he detests what Allah detests, and from that the actions of disobedience and sin and the actions of hypocrisy and transgression and disbelief and the likes like that. Wallahu la yuhibbul kafirin. Allah, he does not love the believers, so a believer likewise does not love them. So as to be contrary to that, to be opposite of that, than to love what Allah hates and to hate what Allah loves. This is contrary to faith in entirety. This is contrary to faith in what is required. To love what Allah detests and to hate what Allah loves. And yet Allah, He loves the righteous. Allah Azza wa Jal, yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah, He loves the righteous. He loves the believers. He loves those who obey Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore to detest them is in reality in conflict directly with that which is pleasing to Allah and that which is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. The author, he says, an ayah, yani until the end of the verse. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِ وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِّلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَءُوفٌ رَّحِيمٌ. This verse in Surah Al-Hashr, very beautiful and a nice and clear evidence for the author with regards to this issue. What do the believers say? They say, those who came after, any the Muhajirun and the Ansar, radiallahu anhum, they say, those who come after them, they say, oh, our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith. This is the statement of the believers. An upright and a righteous believer, he seeks forgiveness for himself and for his brothers who have preceded them, who have preceded him in faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And do not put any hatred or animosity or rancor in our hearts towards the believers. This is what Allah is mentioning here in these verses. So this is the case of the believers in general. This is what they say and this is what they hope for. This is what they say with their tongues and this is what they hope for. What they say with their tongues, they're seeking forgiveness for themselves and for the believers who have preceded them in faith. And in their hearts, they're hoping that Allah will never place any rancor or hatred or animosity in their hearts for those who believe. So here, this issue is clear for the author. This is something that is contrary to faith. This is something that is contrary to faith, contrary to the way of the believers. We'll see the evidences the author, he mentioned, inshallah, but in reality, contrary to that is the way of the munafiqun. They're the ones who dislike the believers, and they're the ones who speak ill of the believers, and they're the ones who have hatred and animosity in their heart towards the believers. But a point to be made with regards to this verse, and this is also a beautiful means of using an evidence, yani al-istidlal, is that the verses that precede this verse here, the two verses that precede this verse here are related directly to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically al-muhajiruna wal ansar, specifically those who migrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca, those who believed first and foremost from Mecca, and likewise those who aided him sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Al-Madinah, and they are the head of the righteous. Whenever the righteous are mentioned, the best of them are the Muhajirun and the Ansar. Whenever the righteous and the pious and the upright and the noble and the good believers are mentioned, the leaders of them and the head of them and the role models of them, the example of them, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general, and more specific, the Muhajirun wal Ansar, and even more specific, Abu Bakr and Umar, and Uthman and Ali, radiallahu anhum, but from the most specific, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma. To the extent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned Sayyida Kuhuri Ahl Jannah, Abu Bakr wa Umar, Ada, and Nabi'ina wa al-Mursaleen. That the leaders and the masters of the elders of the paradise is Abu Bakr and Umar, except for the prophets and the messengers. So therefore, the best of all of the companions is Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, rather the best of all of the companions of all of the followers of all of the prophets and messengers. And the best of mankind after the prophets and messengers is Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. The best of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr and Umar. Better than all of the companions of Nuh and Musa and Isa and Ibrahim, any of all of their followers, Abu Bakr and Umar are better or more righteous and more beloved and nearer to Allah Azza wa Jalla and higher in rank than all of them. So here, the verses that preceded this verse is speaking about them. speaking about them, Allah, he says, الفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. The war booty that had preceded mentioned in this verse from Bani Nadir, that it was for al-fuqara, the poor, from the migrators. That a specific portion of that was left for the poor of those who migrated along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم. Those who were exiled and kicked out of their homes, they were expelled from their homes and from their wealth. Why were they expelled? يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Because they were seeking the bounty and the virtue of Allah and His pleasure. They were seeking the bounty and the virtue of Allah and His pleasure. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And they were aiding Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the muhajirun right here, they're mentioned with two traits. Three traits. That they had been kicked out of their home, they had been exiled and expelled from their homes and their wealth, and they left that behind seeking the bounty and the pleasure of Allah. And likewise seeking to help and to aid Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Ulaika hum as-sadiqun. These people here, these ones here, those muhajirun, they are the truthful. Allah, He mentioned about them. So this verse here is about the muhajirun, those who were expelled from their homes and they migrated and left their wealth and their property and their families behind seeking the pleasure of Allah and seeking to aid the religion of Allah and the sunnah of their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to defend the Messenger with their property and their life. And to defend the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and aid him and support them with their property and their lives. And they did that, radiyallahu anhum. And then Allah, He mentioned after that, the next verse, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah, He mentioned, and those who came after them who had already taken up homes in Al-Madinah and they had embraced the faith, they loved those who migrated to them. This is the trait of the Ansar. They loved those who migrated to them. Those who left their homes in Mecca, those who accepted Islam later in Al-Madinah and had established the home and the land in Medina, they loved those who migrated to them. وَيُثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. And they showed preference to their brothers from the Muhajirun, even though themselves were in need. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They did not find any hardship or rancor or any problem in their heart from what the Muhajirun were given from that war booty, any in spite of them or beside them. And they were given a specific amount because the fact that they left their home and the fact that they were poor and the fact that they had nothing and the likes like this, they had a special portion. And as for the Ansar, they did not have any problem in their heart with that. Rather, they loved their brothers who migrated to them. And likewise, they even showed preference to them over them. Meaning whenever the Muhajirun came, they showed true love and brotherhood for the sake of Allah, and they gave up half of their wealth and their property. They gave up half of their wealth and their property for their brothers who migrated to them and aiding them and supporting them. The point here is that the mentioning now is of these two noble groups of companions, the best of the best, the Muhajirun wal Ansar. Allah, He mentioned that about the Ansar after that, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ وَمَنْ يُقَى شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And whoever is saved from the greed of his own soul, then these, they are the successful. They are the successful. So Allah, He says, after mentioning those two, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ. And those who come after those people, those who come after the Muhajirun and the Ansar, they say, so here we see now Allah, He mentions the Muhajirun and He mentions the Ansar and then He mentions the people who come after them. So we've seen some of the traits of the Muhajirun and we've seen some of the traits of the Ansar. Now we see the traits of those who come after them. Allah, He says, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا. They say, O our Lord. They call on Allah alone, with no partners, with sincerity. اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان. O our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. Forgive us, and even until this day, we are coming after the Muhajirun and the Ansar until this day. So this is what we say, O our Lord, forgive us. And forgive those who preceded, our brothers who preceded us in faith. Who is the head of our brothers who preceded us in faith? Al-Muhajirun al-Ansar. No doubt the parents of the believers and the brothers of the believers who had preceded in the generations before and the generations before, all the way back to the time of Ibn Kathir, all the way back to the time of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumullah, all the way back to the time of the four Imams, all the way back to the time of the Tabi'in, all the way back to the companions. So the first one, those at the head of that, those at the head of those who have preceded us in faith, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to have animosity and hatred and ill feelings towards the believers in general, this is a major sin, but even more severe when it's with the best of the believers. When it's with the best of the believers. So he's saying here to have enmity and hatred towards the righteous. And he's clarifying here that these verses, they clarify that, but specifically with regards to the head of the righteous first and foremost. So therefore, to find fault and to speak ill of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from the worst of all characteristics and traits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has selected and chosen the companions to believe in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to aid and to support him and to help him. He gave them success for this. He created them for that. He decreed this affair that they will be the companions, that they will be the ones who seen the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believed in him and followed him. And they will be the ones who carried his sunnah and his legal ways on after him and taught that affair. Allah, He decreed this affair. Allah commanded and ordered this affair, and it happened by His will and His position. It happened by His will and His will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His permission. And His permission. So therefore, to find fault or to speak ill of the righteous, this is a foul way and a bad way and a major sin. And the worst of that is to speak ill about the companions. It's to speak ill of the companions, radiallahu anhum, because they're the head of the righteous. They're the head of the righteous. Rather, they share in the reward of every good deed after them, because they're the ones who have carried the sunnah, and they're the ones who have spread the sunnah, and they're the ones who had conveyed the sunnah, that which they learned from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was by the permission of Allah that they are the ones who defended the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by their efforts and their wealth and their lives and their sweat and their souls, that the religion was defended and was able to be carried and to be conveyed, and by the command and the permission of Allah azza wa jal. So this is a major affair. So in these verses here, the people of knowledge, they mentioned the way of the believer with regards to the believer specifically, and with regards to the believers in general, and with regards to the companion specifically, the methodology and the way of a believer with regards to the righteous and with regards to the companions specifically, an affair of the tongue and an affair of the heart. How are the tongues of the righteous and the believers with regards to the righteous and to the companions first and foremost, and how are the hearts towards the righteous and to the companions first and foremost? So Allah, He says with regards to their tongues, that they say, الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ, those who came after the Muhajiruna and the Ansar, they say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِمَانِ. They're saying, oh our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who had preceded us in faith. So therefore, the tongue of a believer is clean and pure with regards to the righteous, especially the Muhajirun and the Ansar and the companions. And they have nothing except good to say about them, and to seek forgiveness for them, and to ask Allah to be pleased with them, and to ask Allah to have mercy on them, and to mention the good things about them. This is what Allah is saying here. So with regards to their tongues, what do they say? Oh Allah, forgive them. They have a pure and a clean tongue with regards to them. And then after that, they say, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And O Allah, do not put any animosity or rancor or hatred in our hearts towards those who believe. At the head of them, again, the companions. So therefore, like their tongues, their hearts as well are pure from having any animosity or hatred or hard feelings towards them. Again, this is first and foremost with the companions. And this is the summarization of the Aqeedah to Ahl Sunnah is Sahaba. The creed of Ahlul Sunnah with regards to the Sahaba is like this. They say nothing but good about them. They will never say anything bad or foul or indicate any bad words towards them whatsoever, not one of them. Not one of them. He will not say anything bad about one of them. And he will make an excuse for every one of them. If there was a fault or a mistake that occurred from them, he will make an excuse for them. He will make an excuse for them, and he will love them and say nothing but good about them. He will love them and say nothing but good about them. With regards to the falling out, he will say, well, both of them are striving hard, and one of them is right and one of them is wrong, and all of them are forgiven by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the case. So we believe in this manner. We love the companions, all of them, but we do not believe that they are safe from error. So the ones who made errors, or the one who made a mistake, it's because of his ijtihad. And the likes like this, or if he fell into some type of sin, then the actions that he has, the goodness that he has, and the aid and support that he had given in defending the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outweighs all of that. Outweighs all of that. So therefore he's pardoned and forgiven. So then he would have like a sin that is considered nothing, like a speck in an ocean, or a drop in an ocean of goodness and virtue. And his affairs will be forgiven. Allah, he mentioned about the companions also in Surah Al-Hadid, after mentioning those who came before the Fath and those who came after the Fath. And those who came before the Fath and they fought, before the conquest of Mecca and they fought, they have a higher rank than those who came after the conquest of Mecca and fought. But Allah, he says, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And all of them Allah had promised Jannah. All of them Allah had promised paradise. So whether they was a companion along with the Prophet from day one, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or whether they were from those who accepted Islam in the conquest of Mecca or after that, like Abu Sufyan, even he was the enemy of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then became a believer and follower, or even Abu Sufyan and like Hind and the likes like this, radiallahu anhumah, we have nothing but good to say about them. وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. All of them Allah had promised paradise for them. So a believer will never say anything bad about any of the companions. He will never say anything bad about any of the companions. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا يَقُولُونَ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَابَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. This is the case here. This is the evidence for this here. أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ سَالِمَةً نَظِيفَةً Tija as-sahabati radiyallahu anhu, that their tongues are clean, their tongues are safe and sound from finding fault with the companions in any manner. And it's amazing that we see today some people, they ascribe to Islam, and maybe they're Muslims, but their Islam is very deficient. They find fault with Uthman, and they talk bad about Uthman, and the likes like this, radiyallahu anhu, saying things about his khilafah, and things about his leadership, and accusing him of affairs. And he, subhanAllah, this is an amazing affair. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married one of his daughters to him. And then whenever she died, radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married another daughter to him. And then whenever she died, he said, if I had another one, I would marry her to you also. Radiallahu anhu. We understand that. Then the Prophet, out of all of the people he picked with men, for his daughter, and then for his other daughter. And then if he had another one, he would have given her. Give him the other daughter. Yani, this is a high honor and a high rank. Because of this, he was known as Dhu al-Nurayn, the one who has the two lights. Yani, the two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this is amazing affair. And even worse than that, speaking about Abu Bakr, like the Rafidah, the Munafiqun. What do you have Bilal speaking about Umar radiallahu anhu, and the likes like this? This will never occur from a believer. This is a sign of true hypocrisy. To speak about the companions, specifically Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah, and Uthman and Ali and the likes like this, specifically Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah, this is a sign of true hypocrisy, that this person is not a Muslim. This is a sign that this person in Islam right here is really questioned, that he would talk ill of the companions and the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum. And this is because the companions in general, and Abu Bakr and Umar specifically, they're the ones who carry this religion. We have a great work by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah. He died in the year 463. This work is called Al-Kifaya. It's about the affairs of Mustalah Hadith. And he mentions the issues here with his chain. And in this particular portion that we read in this affair, he's mentioning with regards to the Sahaba. And he mentions with his chain, to Abu Zur'a al-Razi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 264. I think maybe you brothers and sisters know about him. Abu Zur'a al-Razi. Ubaidullah ibn Abdul Karim, الرازي رحمه الله تعالى. He says إذا رأيت الرجل يتنقص أحد من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاعلم أنه زنديق. وذلك أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عندنا حق والقرآن حق، وإنما أدى إلينا هذا القرآن والسنن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإنما يريدون أن يجرحوا شهودنا ليبطلوا الكتاب والسنة، والجرح بهم أولى وهم زنادقة وهم زنادقة. الله أكبر. So Abu Zur'a al-Razi rahimahullah, he says, if you see a man finding fault with any one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you should know that he's zindiq. A zindiq is a true hypocrite, and a pure hypocrite. Somebody who is zindiq is a pure hypocrite. And there used to be people that would enter into Islam in order to corrupt Islam. And they were not able to detour the conquest of Islam. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims were very strong, and the aid of Allah was coming in a major manner, and they conquered the lands very quickly and in a vast way, and people began entering into Islam willfully in a beautiful manner, and Islam is spreading. And as the lands are conquering, many people are accepting Islam, but some of them, they did not truly accept Islam. They wanted to fight the Muslims, but they are not able to physically. So they would enter into Islam, and they would display outward Islam, and then they would work corruption inside, and sow discord, and try to introduce corrupted ideologies and the likes like this. And this is something that the people of innovation were doing. Some of them were Muslims, and they were upon innovation, and others, they were simply truly disbelievers. Truly disbelievers, pretending to be Muslims in order to work corruption and to weaken their ranks. And they will call the likes of this person Zindiq. They will call the likes of this person Zindiq. So Abu Zura, he's saying, rahimahullah, if you see a man speaking bad, finding fault with any one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then know he's a Zindiq. And that is because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to us, is the truth. He's the truth. He's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He received revelation. Jibreel came to him in the manner described in the Sunnah, and he conveyed the message of Allah azza wa jalla, and recited the Quran and purified the people as mentioned in the book, and clarifying the creed and the belief and that which is halal and haram, and he established the deen of Allah azza wa jalla, and he gave sincere advice sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and conveyed all of that. So ar-rasulu indana haqq, the Messenger with regards to us, he's the truth. And the Quran haqq, and the Quran is the truth. It's the speech of Allah, it's not created. It's revelation that was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not the speech of a man. It's not the speech of a man. So the Messenger, he's the truth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is the truth. And those who had who have conveyed this to us, those who have conveyed to us the Quran and the Sunan, the laws and the legal ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is no one other than the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand this point? This point is clear right here? He's saying to you that if you see somebody finding fault with any one of the companions, then know that he's a heretic, know that he's a zindiq, know that he's a pure munafiq, and he's pretending to be a Muslim in order to corrupt Islam. Why? Why? Why is he telling you this? What is his proof? The next statement. We understand, everybody, this is a heavy statement. This statement here is very beneficial to understand. And after understanding this, inshallah, we'll never have sympathy for anyone who ascribes to the way of the Shia and the Rafidah and the likes like that, except we make an excuse for some of this extreme ignorant, blind followers, maybe, but we will not love them at all. Would have no concern for them at all. If they come, we'll go the other way. We'll go the other way. And because of this affair right here. So, the Messenger, he's the truth? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Quran is the truth? Huh? The Quran is the words of Allah Azza wa Jal? Who conveyed to us that, who told us there was a man named Muhammad ibn Abdullah who came and he was a Messenger of Allah and Jibreel came to him? Who told us this? Huh? who conveyed this to us? The Sahaba. Who told us that that man Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he received revelation, and it was recited, and it was a book, and it came down in this manner and that manner, and they had this many verses and the likes like this, and this many chapters, and then there was rulings that had derived from that? Who told us that the prayer is obligatory? Who told us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said the Lord above the heaven said that prayer is obligatory 5 times a day, and you have to give charity if you have the money once a year, and you have to fast in the month of Ramadan. Who told us that all of this happened? The Sahaba, the companions. They're the ones who told us all of this. All of this came to us by way of the companions. We understand that? There's no way to understand anything about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about the Quran, about the revelation, except through the conveyance of the companions to us. They're the ones who told us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came. They're the ones who told us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called them to Allah. They're the ones who told us any of the events and the issues that occurred. Any of this came by way of them. They're the narrators about Islam. They're the ones who conveyed everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said and did to us. They're the ones who conveyed the Quran to us. They're the ones who conveyed the Sunnah to us. And they are linked to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We understand that? So if you get rid of them, then where is Islam going to be now? What is Islam? Islam is what the Prophet Muhammad and his companions were upon. Right? So if you get rid of the companions, now Islam is whatever you want to make up. People start freestyling now. And that's what we have today. That's what they want to do. They want to use their desires and their whims and whatever they like to say, this is Islam. And that is Islam. And this is not Islam. And this is not Islam. And that is Islam. Like this, if you get the companions out of the way, they can start doing that themselves. Then even if you go even further to replace them with imams, for example, or to replace them with mashayikh, for example, or to replace them with leaders of tariqah, and the likes like this, for example, that they'll be the ones that you take the legislation from, and the likes like this, then don't ask about the corruption that will happen to the Islam in the hearts of the people. The Islam in the hearts of the people. So that's why he's saying this. That's why he's saying this. So those people who attack their companions, in reality, they're attacking Islam. Those people who are speaking bad about the companions, especially Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma, they're trying to get rid of that Islam, the true Islam. They want to remove that. They hate Islam and they dislike it, so they want to get it out of the way. They can't do that. They can't come to you and tell you that they hate Islam, that they hate the Sunnah, that they don't want the laws of Islam to be established. They don't say that. So what do? They come, they say, we love Ali and we love Fatima. Like this, like one or two of the companions, radiallahu anhuma, we love this one and that one, and then they drop the rest of them. From the first of them that they attack, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Why is that? Because Abu Hurairah, he narrated more than 5,000 hadith. Also from the first of them that they attack, likewise, is Aisha radiallahu anha. How many did she narrate? Almost over 2,000 narrations. So if you get rid of just these two narrators, these two companions, how many narrations are going to be wiped out of the Sunnah? Yeah. So many, almost 7,000 narrations will be finished and gone from the laws and the legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you get rid of Umar, you're going to get rid of his son likewise. If you get rid of Umar radiallahu anhu, you're going to get rid of his son. His son likewise is from those who narrated more than 1,000 narrations. Now we have almost 10,000 narrations gone. We understand that. Where's the Sunnah now? Where's the Sunnah now? So they are hoping to destroy Islam, to remove the true Islam, and to replace in place of that grave worship and the worship of the devil and calling on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. We understand that. So we should not be deceived whatsoever. So his statement, he says, they only want to find fault with those who are our witnesses. They want to find fault with our witnesses in order to invalidate the Quran and the Sunnah. This is what they hope to do. They're talking bad about the companions because they want to find fault with our witnesses. If you go to court and you have witnesses, and he has witnesses, and then you find out and you can prove that this witness is a liar, or that this witness is untrustworthy, or that this witness is not reliable, or this witness is a drug addict, or this witness is a drunk, and the like, you can find fault with the witnesses, what would happen to their testimony? Would it be accepted? Would the testimony? No, it would not be accepted. So likewise, they want to find fault with the companions, so their testimony would not be accepted. What is their testimony? Their testimony is that they saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he raised his hands whenever he prayed, whenever he made takbir, and whenever he went to ruku', whenever he raised from ruku', whenever he raised from the tashahud al-awwal. They want to do away with all of that, with all of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They want to find fault with our witnesses in order to invalidate the Quran and the Sunnah, and to find fault with them and speak out of them as more rightful, and they are heretics. and they are heretics. Likewise, that Imam Ahmad, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا يَذْكُرُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ بِالسُّوءِ فَاتَّهِمْهُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فَاتَّهِمْهُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. So therefore, the way of a believer, a true believer who loves Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he will love what Allah loves, and he will love what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves. He will love for the sake of Allah, and he will love what Allah loves, and he will love what the Messenger loves sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from that is loving his companions, radiyallahu anhum, loving his companions, radiyallahu anhum. So the believer, his methodology in life is that he says specifically, is that specifically with regards to the companions, and likewise after that, all those righteous people following their way. After that, likewise, all the righteous until this day following their way, that their tongue is safe from saying anything bad about them. Their tongue is clean from saying anything bad about them, without right, from saying anything bad about them. And their hearts are clean and have no rancor for them, nothing but love for them, nothing but honor for them, nothing but respect for them. And this is the case, and this is the evidence here, the author, he mentioned. Those who come after them, what do they say? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِيَخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who have preceded us in faith. This is a proof for which point? Which point? That their tongues are pure and clean. They say nothing but good about the believers, the head of them, the companions. Oh Allah, oh our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in faith. So this is the first point. The tongue is clean, saying nothing but, oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, have mercy on them. Oh Allah, pardon them. Oh Allah, overlook their faults. Oh Allah, raise their rank. Like this. Nothing but good for the believers, at the head of them, the companions. وَلَا تَجَعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And do not put in our hearts any rancor or hatred or animosity. غِلْ, يعني أداوة, or حِقَد, for those who believe. And oh our Lord, do not put any hatred or animosity or rancor in our hearts towards those who believe. At the head of them, again, the companions, those who had preceded, right? So therefore, likewise, their hearts are safe from having any animosity or hatred. So the heart of a believer has nothing but love for the companions, radiyallahu anhum, and all of those believers who follow them until this day. And all of those believers who follow them until this day, they have nothing but love for them. They want nothing but good for them. They do not want to see anything harm, any bad thing happen to them. They love for them what they love for themselves. And they do not say anything but good about them. They do not say anything but good about them. This is the way of a believer. The author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه مرفوعة يقول الله تعالى من عدى لي وليا فقد بارزني بالحرب. He mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, that whoever takes one of my awliya, a wali of mine, any one of my beloved and believing slaves, one of my righteous slaves, takes him as an enemy, then verily he has opposed me directly in war. And the meaning of this narration, فَقَدْ بَارَزَنِي بِالْحَرْبِ. المبارزة means duel. You know, a duel in the old days, what they would do, the lions would line up, and before the ranks would all meet in battle, they would send like one or two from each rank, or three of the noble of them, and they would have a face-off. One of them would come, and one another would come all by themselves, and there will be a duel to the death. Like this. This is called mubaraza. And yubarizuhu. This is what, so that's what would happen. One of them would come out and from one rank, and another from the another rank, and they'll fight to death. And then after that, the war, the ranks would collide, and the war would take place. We understand that part? Allah is saying in this hadith Qudsi that the one who has enmity towards my beloved believers, then this is what he's doing with me. It's like he's coming one-on-one to go to war with Allah Azza wa Jal. We understand that. He wants to go to war with Allah Azza wa Jal one-on-one like this. فَقَدْ بَارَزَنِي بِالْحَرْبِ فَقَدْ بَارَزَنِي بِالْحَرْبِ مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ بَارَزَنِي بِالْحَرْبِ. In some wording, this wording is not in Al-Bukhari. In Bukhari it's mentioned, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Then the one who takes one of my beloved slaves and my righteous believers as an enemy, then verily I have pronounced war against him. that verily I have pronounced war against him. So this is a dangerous affair. This is a dangerous affair. So the adawa is in the heart. It's enmity and hatred, and it comes from being, and it causes a person to be in opposition, to dislike and to oppose them. So a person who opposes somebody and be in opposition to them until he hates them. And this is what this is what's happening here. And whenever a person, he does that to someone who is righteous and known to be upright and obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, then he is in reality taking Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala as an enemy. He's going to war with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he would defend his slave. We are all slaves of Allah, male and female. But the one who is a slave of Allah rightfully, we talked about this before in the Khutbat al-Hajj classes, the issue of Ubudiyyah. The one who is a true slave of Allah, and he's carrying that title, Abdullahi Haqqan, wa ibadur Rahman al-Ladina yamshuna al-Ardi Hawna. And at the end of it, he's a slave of Allah. And meaning here, not just a slave to the Rububiyyah, a slave to the Uluhiyyah, he's a slave in obedience and humbleness and servitude and submission. He fights his soul for the sake of Allah. He fights his desires and his whims for the sake of Allah, to be obedient. And if this person right here, he is near and close to Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will aid that person and help that person from where he could not even perceive and where he could not even think. So to take this person as an enemy, a person he should be aware. He should beware that, because Allah Azza wa Jal, he will aid his slave. Allah Azza wa Jal, he will aid his slaves. So likewise the women as well. So this is something to take in mind, that if a person he's known to be righteous, you should not harm him whatsoever. You should not oppress him and take his right whatsoever. If a woman is known to be righteous, you should not oppress her or take her right whatsoever. And this is something that should be known, that he's a slave of Allah. Sister, do not harm your husband. Do not harm your husband unrightfully, especially if he's upright. Allah will defend him. Allah will defend him, and maybe Allah will send retribution upon you because of harming him if he's righteous and upright. And likewise, brother, if the sister is upright and she fulfills her obligations to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you oppress her and you take her right unlawfully and you put her down in the likes like this and take advantage of her, then she's the slave of Allah. Likewise, Allah, he defends his slaves. So we should be aware, we should fear Allah like this. We should fear Allah like this. And that we would harm the slaves of Allah, because Allah, he would defend his slaves. Allah, he defends those who believe. Allah, he defends those who believe. Inna Allah yudafi'u anil ladhina amanu. That indeed Allah, he defends those who believe. So this is the case here, that the one who opposes them, then he has announced war with Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he mentions, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu marfu'a, la yubghidul ansar rajulun yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. That no one detests the Ansar. He mentioned the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that no one detests the Ansar, a man who believes in Allah in the last day, he will never detest or dislike the Ansar. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.